Last spring in Cleveland, at the Second National Conference on UNESCO, some of the men and women of the American theater formulated a plan which is this month being put into action. We have called this month International Theater Month. And under the auspices of UNESCO and the International Theater Institute, the men and women of the American theater are trying to demonstrate as well as they can something of the contribution that theater can make to international goodwill and international understanding. We have with us today on our campus, as a distinguished guest, Mr. Harold Klorman of New York City. Now, Mr. Klorman has had a great deal of experience in dealing with international theatrical matters. In his early associations with the Group Theater, which he was a co-founder, he helped to bring to our actors in this country some feeling and some knowledge of certain acting systems which had been worked on in our neighbor, that is, our artistic neighbor, Russia. And then Mr. Klorman himself has had many experiences on the international theater scene. I'm going to ask Mr. Klorman to tell us first about some of the experiences that he had recently when he went to Israel to work with theater there. Mr. Klorman, tell us something about your experiences there, would you, sir?
Well, our first experience I'll tell you about is my experience as a playgoer rather than as a director. I was very struck by the fact that in Israel a great many American plays were being done. Some of them very ordinary American plays, ordinary in the sense of not at all the highbrow American play, but the more commercial American play, like Dear Ruth was a great success in Israel. Also, Born Yesterday was a great success in Israel. They had done a play called Pickup Girl, which was a failure in New York, I believe, or at least only a moderate success, but it was a great success there. They seem to want more and more plays from America. I believe The Death of a Salesman is going to be done there in Israel. And they just couldn't have enough American plays. And they also began to desire to have not only American plays, but American directors. I was the second American director to come to Israel. There was one other, a young man at another theater who did Born Yesterday, amongst other plays. And generally speaking, this year I think they've invited Bobby Lewis, Robert Lewis of New York, to direct. I believe he's choosing to do William Saroyan's My Heart's in the Highlands, which is a play produced by the Group Theater years ago, in which he directed with the Group Theater. He also wants to do a one-act play by Tennessee Williams. So that there's a great feeling in Israel for the American theater and for the American scene. America has great prestige there, and all things American are highly regarded, either as a curiosity or as an inspiration, and sometimes as both.
I see. Well, now we talk about international theater. I don't suppose we could find any place else in the world, could we, where we have such an international audience as we do in Israel?
That's true. That's true. Because the people there are people who were born there, some of them, but a great many others came from various parts of the world, from all over Europe, some from America, not many from America. But they are people who have international culture in the sense that they have people who speak many languages, and English is widely spoken in Israel. And American movies are the most popular of all movies. And so gradually they're getting to know a good deal about our country and admiring its energy, its vigor, its ambitiousness, which they duplicate in their own way.
I think we people in the theater, do we not, like to think of the theater in one of its senses as a very important means of communication. Perhaps not so much a direct means as through its influences an indirect means, but nevertheless always direct, at least in its initiation of the performance. Now, I was much struck, Mr. Klorman, by the plays that you mentioned. I think sometimes we feel that in communication we can only use generalities and that things that are very local have no carrying values at all. And yet the plays you mentioned, I should say, are very typically American plays. What is it about those plays that could appeal to such a diverse group of people as those that you worked with in Israel?
Well, I think a play like Dear Ruth, first of all, is a family play. And since those people there have a great sense of family, as we have here, they like that. They like the sense of a family, of family humor. But beyond that, there's something about American plays that appeals very much to them, and all American plays to, and that is their energy, their sprightliness, their modernity in the sense of being different from the old tradition of the first plays that they were able to see in that country, which were generally plays harking back to Hebrew legend and therefore somewhat remote. And these American plays, being so contemporary in their writing and feeling and thinking, is a breath of fresh air, acts as a breath of fresh air there, because the theater started there on a level which was intellectual and poetic and somewhat removed from the very ordinary, hard-working audience, pioneer audience, really, that actually exists. And the American, although he's unconscious of it, still has a great deal of that in his work, in his playwriting. And that's very much appreciated, because the things these plays have a certain down-to-earthness which they want, and which is part of their own sense of life as they're beginning to live it in a new country.
Well, now we've mentioned the export value of American plays. What about exportations of Europe to our own theater? Would you comment on that, especially in relationship to rather recent plays in New York City?
Well, there have been, at every season, there are a great many, or if not a great many, considerable number of foreign plays, such as The Mad Woman of Shiloh last season, which was a great success in New York, and is a great, or even a greater success, I believe, on the road, and is now playing in Chicago. That practically introduced to the American theater a man who's very popular in the French theater, namely Jean Giraudoux, the author of The Mad Woman of Shiloh. This season, another of Giraudoux's plays was produced with less success, partly, I believe, due to inadequate production. This was a play called The Enchanted, but the critics gave it a very good reception, and now I think there's going to be a run on Giraudoux in New York. They find critics and actors and so the producers a great interest in this Frenchman, who is able to combine a very modern satirical spirit with a sense of fantasy and poetry, and which moves freely from both the ancient legend as in a play like Amphitryon 38 to modern Paris as in The Mad Woman of Shiloh. In a sense, the Cocktail Party is a foreign play.
Yes.
It's written by a man born in St. Louis, as you know, but Mr. Elliott has elected to be an Englishman, and we now look upon his play as a foreign play, even though the antecedents, Mr. Elliott's antecedents, are definitely American. There's a new play coming in to New York soon called The Cry of the Peacock. It was called Ardell, which is a French girl's name, in Paris. It was a great success in Paris, and is being produced, being tried out next week, I think, in New Haven, and then after that in Philadelphia. And this is a play about France in 1910. And the point of view of the play is that the French, modern Frenchman, looks with a certain amount of distaste at the French past, which made of Paris the ooh-la-la place. Sense of what we have still to an alarming degree of the French as a frivolous people, and of French literature being slightly wicked, is a legend which, and to a certain extent, as far as the theater and their literature goes in that period, that is the 1910s, a fact, is regarded now with a certain amount of distaste by the modern Frenchmen. So the play is really a very moral play about immoral circumstances. It's a moral play in the sense that it disparages the frivolous attitude towards sex and sex relationships, which were characteristic not of French life so much as of French literature and French theater in that period. And that play is a great experiment in a sense, because experiment, let us say, as a play for New York, because this play may seem to be an example of what it seems to be attacking. Namely, it may seem terribly frivolous and cynical to the audience in New York, but that remains to be seen.
Yes,
but it's a very interesting play.
Well, would you subscribe to the general notion that our seeing of foreign plays is a very definite help to us in understanding the human relationships of our international neighbors?
I subscribe to that 100%, because there is no better way of knowing a people than through its art, because in art we deal with the fundamentals of feeling and emotion and living morals of a people. And if we know about a people, we will not only know something of their differences, but we will know basically how similar all peoples are. The more I go abroad, visit abroad, and I've been abroad in many countries, I find that though there are very enchanting and sometimes disturbing differences between people, what comes across to me mostly is that how fundamentally people are alike, and that if you scratch away certain momentary differences of language and certain small differences of custom, you find that people are very much the same all over the world.
And when you become a part of a theater audience, you think that something happens to you as a member of that audience.
You feel kinship with the people you're sitting with, and you feel that since they and you are able most of the time to laugh and cry over the same things, then perhaps you really are what everybody says we are, brothers under the skin.
I think that's very true indeed. We've mentioned mostly audience reaction. I'm thinking now for just a moment about the theater workers themselves, the designers, the directors, the actors and actresses. And I mentioned that you had been so useful to the American theater in helping us to understand and to use certain principles of acting that had been formulated by the great Russian director Stanislavski. Now, in dealing with those, Mr. Klorman, you didn't feel that there was anything essentially Russian about those, did you? Didn't you feel cross lines completely?
No, there's nothing essentially Russian about the Stanislavski system any more than there's something essentially Italian about Marconi's wireless. It so happens that Marconi was an Italian, and so happens that Stanislavski was a Russian. But what all of these people deal with, and that's why they're important and useful, is with fundamental things in their branch of activity. Stanislavski's system is merely the formulation of a universal truth, or universal truths in regard to acting at all times in all countries and forevermore. And therefore, I never mention Stanislavski. I very rarely mention Stanislavski except in schools or with professionals. When I talk to actors on Broadway who come from every part of the country and have all types of previous experience, I never talk about any particular system I'm using. I'm talking about the common sense of their work. And where I got the work, inspiration for this work, is really not important for them or for the audiences. Every actor I've ever met finds that what I'm saying is just common sense for him as an actor. And if I was inspired or got valuable suggestions from a man by the name of Stanislavski, that's my business, and it's not really very important to anybody but a student. For the actor, it's simply an instrument that he uses as we use anything else to accomplish a particular purpose.
I think that's very well taken. But I do feel that underneath it, you have a very real feeling that there can be an international exchange of idea and of theory and of aesthetic that will be helpful and meaningful to all of us who are citizens of this world.
I believe that has been true in the past, and that will go on being true unless we descend into barbarism. I believe that all civilization is the transfer of ideas from one country to another.
And then you feel that we can, without losing our own national value, become a part of an international society, helping our country as we are citizens of that individual country, and at the same time, all of us can, working together in the theater, help us to understand our neighbors of the whole world.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Klorman. Thank you, Mr. Klorman. Thank you, Mr. Klorman.